And we do pray today that our hearts will be ready. And even if our hearts are not ready, Father, you'll be able to work and lift up anything that is there to really comfort us. Thank you so much that we can be gathered here as your children to learn from you, to be inspired by your word, but again, to grow from your word. For help us to continue to be sensitive to the leading of your spirit. I pray that as we go through Hebrews chapter 9 today, that there will be something that each and every one of us will be able to take away. For help us to every single day to check our lives, to look into our hearts, to grow in our faith of you, to grow in our fear of you, and to apply every single thing that we read. Father, we are so thankful because we know you're a God of second chances. Thank you so much for allowing us even to worship you here today. We pray for the world that we live in today, that we can continue to be a light, that we can continue to help those who are despairing and who are far just there dying by the wayside. We pray for those who are sick, for those who have illnesses, Father, for those who are discouraged. Father, we pray that you meet them at their point of need. Father, we pray for Melanie Crystal's mom. Father, you please be with the doctors in Addenbrooke Hospital in Cambridge as she goes for her last chemotherapy. Father, we pray that that goes well. Father, we know that our lives are in your hands. And Father, we know that you're a gracious God, but you do as you see fit in each and every one of our lives. Father, we pray for Mike Williams. Father, we pray for his breathing. We pray for his health. And we pray for those of us who have not even prayed for this morning, that you please continue to grant us good health. Father, help us not take our lives for granted, but above all, help us to be a spiritual people. Father, not taking our spiritual lives for granted. Father, we love you. Pray this in your son's name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good afternoon. It's 12 on the dot here. It's good to be here. It's great to have, I could see that we have the Haynes here from the south. I do want to apologize to Richard for John's slanderous words towards you with the football. The almost mighty, do you understand? And I just say that humbly, I know we're going to have a great match today, but I do want to apologize on behalf of the Southeast for beating you guys 5-0. But that's okay. Do you understand? That's okay. That's okay. Just wanted to pass them and come. But welcome, guys. I know the last time we played it was 2-2, but that's okay. Do you understand? It's a game of two halves. Amen. That is okay. But Hebrews chapter 9, we'll just keep it to Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. Hebrews 9. Oh, dear. Oh, almost mighty. But before I go in, there's a sister who has been visiting with us from the Lagos Church. She's been there for like 3 months. And Yetunde is going to be leaving us on Wednesday. Is that right? She's going to be leaving us. And she's definitely been a part of us, the singles group. So we're going to miss you. Please take our greetings back to Lagos. Say hi to the MS and everybody there in the Shomulu Ministry. Is that right? Very good. Where we have the campus. So great. I hope you've enjoyed yourself here. Okay. Now let's get into the book of Hebrews. I hope most of us are chewing on solid food. And today we're going to continue looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 9. And what we're going to be doing, I know that we've been focusing on the superiority of Jesus and the superiority of the covenants he brings through his superior sacrifice. Everything about Jesus is superior. There is nothing inferior about the Lord that we worship. That's why we're here every single morning. You understand? And yet today, brothers and sisters, I think we are so blessed to be living on this side of the cross. I tell you, thank God for who this Jesus, you know, this side of the cross. To get to know and put our faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. We know that it says in the book of Jonah, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And such as we can cling to worthless idols, and we know what those worthless idols are, it's only Jesus as we seek his kingdom and his righteousness alone. Our great high priest, the Son of the living God, in flesh, the only way to God. But you know, before we go on to Hebrews chapter 9, before I read the chapter, you know, I just wanted to share some things why Jesus is superior. While he was on earth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did so many things that we're reminded about how awesome our God is. We sing songs like, "There is beyond the azure blue." Isn't that right? That the God that we worship, there is a God who is alive. In him we live and we do what? Survive. We sing songs like, and also, you know, God is an awesome God. We sing songs like that. But you know, the Jesus we worship, what are some things he did? He defied the laws of nature. In Matthew, we see Jesus doing what? Walking on water. Never have we seen a sailor that we worship who walked on water, but even made a man to walk on water, Peter. And Peter lacked faith and he began to sink. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He forgave the woman caught in adultery. Jesus had the power to forgive sins on earth. He encouraged the little children to come to him. He said, "Suffer the little children to come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." A compassionate God. We see Jesus right here feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, isn't that right? And 2 fish. I mean, where do you see somebody? You know, people say, talk about all of these guys here. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and you feed 5,000 people. How that happened in the eyes of people with 12 baskets left. You didn't want to say, with 12 baskets left over, is mind-boggling. And I don't know how he did it. The Bible just says he looked up to heaven and spoke to his Father. And then all of a sudden, the baskets kept on coming out. I'm thinking, man, 5,000 with 12 left over. That's the God you worship. He's the God of plenty and can take care of your needs. Healed all types of sicknesses and diseases. He resisted Satan's temptation and overcame. He died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. He declared in John 14, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is the Jesus that we've come to know and the Jesus that we have got to cling on to. You know, as we look at Hebrews chapter 9 this morning, this chapter helps us to appreciate how much more superior what we have in the New Testament or the New Covenant rather than the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. So let's read on right here, Hebrews chapter 9. Are we all there? Hebrews chapter 9. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant above the ark, while the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail right now. Man, there is something powerful about that. You know, we're not going to go into this stuff. Maybe it's too, I don't know, too lofty, too big for us. So let's just keep it simple here. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year. And never without blood. So if he went in there without blood, then son, God would discipline him. Which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. Yeah, I could go into the temple with my bulls and my goats, but it didn't clear the conscience of the worshipper. So it was imperfect. That no matter how many sacrifices I did, it couldn't clear my conscience. We'll talk about that later. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. Having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. That is why we use this scripture normally to refute the thief on the cross didn't need to get baptized. Jesus had the authority on earth to forgive sins, isn't that right? And so the will of people getting baptized to receive the Holy Spirit couldn't have happened unless Jesus had been glorified and had gone into heaven to see the Father. So this is a scripture we use to say that will was not in effect. Then he goes on. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves, together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll on all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and everything used in his ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Forgiveness. And I normally say forgiveness of sins. That's why we praise God and have communion this morning. Thanks, Lord, for your communion. It was necessary, then, for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Wow, I like that. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again. Now, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own, then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself, once for all. Just as man is destined to die, how many times? How many times, guys? I know some Eastern religions teach reincarnation. That, you know, you can die so many times and in the next life you could be a dog, a cat, or a horse. Or some other things. No, my Bible says, hey, Jesus says, hey, the writer says here, man is only destined to die once. And then face what? Judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear again a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Brothers and sisters, I hope we're waiting in eager expectation of the coming of Jesus. I hope we're getting ourselves ready. Isn't that right? You know, it talks about the wedding ceremony in Matthew, where a guy came in with the wrong hat and the wrong clothes. I hope that we are ready. You know, that our clothing is right, that we're waiting so that we are ready. Isn't that right? We've got to keep ourselves ready all of the time for his glorious appearing. Point number one, limitations of the old covenants. What were the limitations as I read before? You know, one of the things that we see right here is that the Bible says a tabernacle was set up, kind of a house. And in that tabernacle, there were certain rooms. You know, it says the first room there, it had what? A lampstand, a table, and consecrated bread called the holy place. Now, one thing that you learn about the tabernacle, in a sense, it was kind of a smaller scale of Herod's temple in Jerusalem. That was one big building. And back then, you know, let me talk about the temple and I'll get back here. Back then, you know, in Herod's temple, I'll just give you kind of an overview right here, is that that was where everybody went in for their sacrifices. And in Herod's temple, you had the Gentile courts. Amen. Gentiles, do you understand? That only the Gentiles, they'll be on the outer courts. And then you have the Jews who could go into the next stage, isn't that right? And then there are the other priests on the outer court right there of the temple doing the sacrifice. And then you have the high priest. So the tabernacle here is kind of a smaller scale. So the first room is a holy place. Then it says behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place. Only the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry out the meeting. Only the high priest could enter the inner room only once a year and always with the blood of goats and calves. Now guys, man, this is kind of intricate. This does my head in. You understand? So, the priests are there. You're just an outsider. Isn't that right? So you have the priests outside there doing their work. But not every priest. The high priest could go in there once a year. You know what? Brothers, everybody back then had limited access to God. It was physical. Isn't that right? You had to go in there with something, and only a priest could go on your behalf. You know, sometimes I don't like being excluded. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you go to a place, you understand, and say, wait out there, you know. Could you imagine all of us being here today? And all of us went to a party, we were invited to a party. And there was kind of an inner room. And then you try to go and say, no, by invitation only. you know the feeling you get, isn't that right? I'm excluded. None of us likes being excluded, but praise God, because of Jesus, you know, our access now is unlimited. Isn't that right? Today we can approach Jesus' throne of grace 24/7 because of what he has done. You don't need to pick up the red phone. Do you understand? Think about getting to Buckingham Palace. I can't just pick up the phone and say, I want to talk to the Queen. I'll probably go through the personal, even before you get through the personal secretary, there's somebody filtering the emails. Isn't that right? So maybe in a million years you won't get to her. But could you imagine trying to get into Buckingham Palace or say, you just show up at Downing Street and said, I want to talk to David Cameron. Or you go to the States. When they say, went outside, you know, magnificent building there. I think Bush was in power, so the White House. Hey, can't imagine. Could I just march in there and say, Judge Bush, I want to talk? Nah. But the creator of heaven, the most important person on earth, isn't that right? You don't need a red phone. You don't need an appointment. It is 24/7. In your shower, you can talk to Jesus. When you're traveling to work on the train and somebody gives you a bad attitude, at least you can pray for them. That's access to Jesus. In the woods around your area, isn't that right? In your living room, even while you're sleeping on the bed, sometimes you're awake at night, you pray. Access 24/7. Walking. When you're in trouble, everywhere you are, you could be praying in your mind. In an interview, at work, isn't that right? Guys, how come, if this is all available to us, why aren't we taking opportunity of it? Why aren't we talking to the most important being in the world when it's free access? Free of charge. Free of charge. I like things that are free. Free of charge. Limited access. But because of Jesus, we have unlimited access. You know, another thing again that we see, limitations, there was limited forgiveness. You know, any deliberate sin back then was not forgiven. Stoning was the typical punishment that you found in the Old Testament. If you read some of the laws, the Bible even says if a kid disrespected the parents and didn't repent, they were supposed to be stoned in public. I'm kind of thinking, man alive, man. Some of those laws are intense. Only sin not done deliberately could be forgiven. This means, like, guys, think about the studies that we do in church. Think about things like sexual immorality, fits of rage, lying, murder, things that, so many things that we can get. Would we still be living today? We will not have the hope of being forgiven. You know, the old covenant, brothers and sisters, and this is where we really got to praise God about the 24/7 relationship we have with God, because the old covenant did not deal with the hearts. It only dealt with the outward. It dealt with the flesh. I know, guys, even though we don't see, you know, we can say, you know, sometimes judgment is not quick to come, but our hearts are the ones that's really going to be judged. So we don't take those things lightly. Isn't that right? So really, real change in our core, do you understand? Because if you know that, man, okay, I can sin. Hey, rich person, get me a bull. It doesn't cost me anything. You understand? Rich young ruler, isn't that right? All these things I have kept since I was a... What does Jesus say? Matthew chapter 5 in the Bible. Jesus takes the oath. He says, I'm the fulfillment of the law. I didn't come to abolish it. So people say, oh, it's just the hour. Jesus says, I tell you, you know, you might say lust. I say, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery with her. He says, you know, if you hate your neighbor, isn't that right? You know, so it's because of hate and love. So Jesus is saying, go beyond the outward. Let's deal with the hearts. I cannot see your heart this morning, but Jesus knows what is in your heart. So that's why when I'm tempted with sin or attitudes, I've got to confess those things, because those things can corrode my heart. We've got to be open, guys. You know, whereas in the new covenant, what do we see? We see former addicts changed and a responsible husbands and fathers living a self-controlled life. Why? Because this is not just our change, it is heart change.
You see homosexuals now in the kingdom serving as powerful elders in his kingdom. Why? Because of our hearts. Because of the new covenant. Because it is all about heart change. We see drunkards. We see drug dealers becoming baptized disciples. Men that were part of cartels becoming disciples. Doing powerful things for God in the kingdom. Why? Because of Jesus. So we're not just talking about, okay, let me kind of cleanse the outside here. It's dealing with our hearts. Brothers and sisters, this morning, are we dealing with our hearts? All selfish and self-addicted people change and become the most sacrificial and unselfish people. Brothers and sisters, point number one, what are we talking about here? Limitations. Yeah, the old covenant had its limitations, but praise God of Jesus, all those things have been taken away. You've got free access. So this one, you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm kind of struggling with something. Have you taken it to Jesus? Well, I've got this attitude, I've got this problem with that person. Have you taken it to Jesus? Why pray when I can worry? Why pray when I can worry? It's always good. We normally sing that song, "Trouble's in my way, my Jesus can fix it." Do you believe that? I believe that. Point number two, cleansing the conscience. Many of us have a conscience here. Do we all have a conscience here today? Why is the conscience so important? Why is it so important, the conscience? Why is the conscience so important? It's what separates us from. Wow. There's a religious studies teacher right there just giving us the definition right there. Yeah, AS level, you say, hey, I said yes. Great to have some cheers in the audience right here. So it separates us from the animals. That is true. Animals don't have a conscience. That is true. Wow, that's getting deep right here. We're not going to go there today. Okay, Donovan. So the conscience can separate one from God. That's a big one right here. That's massive. That's big. Stella. Yep. What would they say? I didn't hear that. It determines our actions, how we're going to deal with situations. That's true, because if the conscience is not clear, the behavior that comes out is messed up behavior. Man, do you know what I'm saying? That's why I tell you, that's why Jesus, you know, I had time with the same guys yesterday, Maggie, Kathy, and Lucia, and this was one thing that came up in our chat, do you know what I'm saying? About how all of us were thinking that our biggest battle in the 21st century is the battle of the mind. It is, I tell you, it's a bird's nest. This is where everything happens. Man, the mind. So that's why there's always going to be confession, singing, praying, do you know what I'm saying? Because this is where Satan attacks us. Jesus' first temptation, it was mind games with Satan. Mind games. Conscience. Mark. Absolutely. Because if the conscience is not there, then you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to prick you. There's a sensitivity. We've got to allow. That's the Spirit speaking to us here, Phil. Wow. A God-given defense system. Isn't that right? I know that, you know, that there's so many... supplements around that helps the immune system. This is the best immune system, isn't that right? You understand? Clear conscience, the blood of Jesus. That's a good immune system right there. Amen. Thanks a lot for that, guys. You know, one thing, you know, that we see right here in Hebrews 9, it talks about the whole idea of the conscience. It says right here, it says in verse 13, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? So guys, if the conscience isn't clear, isn't that right? It will lead me to acts that lead to death. You know, brothers, as disciples, if I'm not confessing my sin, dealing with my conscience every time, those things can erode on us, isn't that right? It develops a bitter root, isn't that right? And it leads us away from God. Now, why do we talk about cleansing the conscience? Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Jesus went into the most holy place, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood. This is greater and more perfect than the old covenant. That's what he says. by his own blood. Jesus' blood has the power not just to deal with the outside, but clear our consciences so that we can serve God. Guys, so that we can serve God. You know, we sang a song this morning. Glory be to Jesus, who in what? Bitter pains. Poured for me what? The life blood. Oft as it is sprinkled on our guilty hearts. When we get baptized, and the reason why the cleansing starts, because we come in touch with the blood of Jesus. Very, very important. The blood of Jesus. You know, today, you might be visiting and have done some things that you are not proud of, that you regret. Maybe you've done some things. When I walked into church, you know, when you're not a regular church goer, you kind of feel religious. You hear some messages sometimes that really prick the heart. And sometimes, you know, we can be all nicey-nicey and we can say, but we know the mind is racing. But you know, you might be visiting. And I do want to say welcome again to some of our visitors who are here today. I know God has a great plan for your life. Our God wants you to be saved. You know, salvation is for everybody. Isn't that right? The work has been done, but he's looking for a response. Jesus is not looking for religiosity. He's looking for discipleship. He's looking for people who are going to do what? Life and doctrine, and persevere in both of these things. So today you might be visiting, and I've done some things that you're not proud of, or things that you regret. Perhaps you feel the need to punish yourself. Perhaps you feel the need, I have no way out. But there is always a way out with Jesus. Always a way out. And I will say, I really want to encourage you, get to know Jesus by studying out who he is with someone. Because his blood has been shed for your forgiveness. And you can have a clear conscience. Because I think sometimes what can happen is, I don't like these quick fix methods. I don't like this quick fix religion that says, come on forward and you're saved. I don't study my Bible. Isn't that right? There is a process. And so studying the Bible and going through things step by step to say, how do I get my conscience cleared? How do I start my life all over again? I really want to encourage you. Get together with the person who invited you today. Make sure you get in there and make sure you ask them, can we please look at some of the scriptures? Please. You know one thing I like to say? Life waits for nobody. Life is a respecter of nobody. Don't plan to repent at the 11th hour. You may die at 10:30. Don't plan to repent at the 11th hour. You may die even at 10:59 and 59 seconds. And we push the boundaries. Isn't that right? But hey guys, you know one thing? Let's make the changes that we need to make. You know, guilt is a burden God never intended his children to bear. You cannot be a Christian and be living a life of guilt. Why did he go to the cross? Why did he shed his blood? If we are full of guilt, then we do not understand the saving grace of Jesus. You know, in our society that we live in today, brothers and sisters, people look for what? Cheap, non-lasting ways of not feeling guilty. What are some ways that people are, what are some things people do not to feel guilty in our society today? Yeah, Tim? Drink. Okay? Louise? Sir? Drugs? Yep. Change your peer group. Okay? You mean change your... Absolutely. Find people who don't make you feel guilty. That is really, really true. So, you know, want to be with the boys or girls, you understand? And it's amazing how, when you look at the statistics, it says that when you look at the club scenes today, or you look at teenagers or some of the middle-aged people, that women now are drinking as much more than men. Oh, yeah. That's society. It's going downhill. It's going downhill. You know, drugs, alcohol, sex. You understand? Yeah, these things might have their short-term pleasures, but long-term, what happens? You wake up feeling worse. Isn't that right? You kind of think, man, this doesn't take anything away. Only Jesus can fill that void. Only the blood of Jesus can fill that void in your life. And what happens is, you need more, isn't that right? Because it's not curing, so you need more drink, you need more alcohol, you need more drugs. But you know what happens? It just leads to addiction. There was a story. I tell you guys, we got to be, we were kind of, I normally send out the guys in the leadership team some articles I get, churchleaders.com, and he was sharing the story about a guy who was talking about his church, and in there was a story about a minister in the States who died in, 42 years old, who died in August, Zachary Timms, black American preacher. In Baltimore, when he was growing up, life of addiction and drugs, 42, his wife left him because he had an affair with a French stripper. In August, was found dead with white substances in his pocket in a hotel in New York. I got to tell you guys, every single one of us, including me, we got to keep our consciences clear. Nothing hidden. And it was amazing how they wrote the article right there about biblical discipline and how were the people around him? Isn't that right? We need people in our lives to help us have a clear conscience on a regular basis. Isn't that right? A man consulted a doctor. I've been misbehaving, doctor, and my conscience is troubling me. He complained. And you want something that will strengthen your willpower, says the doctor. Well, no, said the fellow. I was thinking of something that would weaken my conscience. How's your conscience this morning? Is it weak? Is it strong? Is it eroded? We know we live in a world today where people don't have any conscience at all. But I've got to ask myself, do you understand? The blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience. Is my conscience weak? Is it strong? Is it eroding? Proverbs 21, it says, the guilty flee where no one is in pursuit. It's a conscience thing. A farmer was on his way home after picking up his new car. As he approached his farm, he decided to test the acceleration. He passed the side road that led to his house and drove on for a mile or so. Then after making a sharp U-turn, he sped back toward the side road. A man driving a station wagon observed the U-turn and the farmer's fast rate of speed. And he thought the automobile was an unmarked police car. Trying to avoid detection, he quickly headed down the road leading to the farm. Of course, he was followed by the returning farmer who only wanted to go home. The second driver was alarmed and drove at a high speed to escape, only to come to a dead end. He jumped out and ran, abandoning the station wagon. Later, it was found to be filled with stolen coffee, cigarettes, and ammunition. His conscience had made him flee, even though no one was pursuing him. The guilty flee, isn't that right? Where no one is in pursuit, who's watching. There's nothing to fear when our lives are transparent. I'll give you another story here. Expired license. When Sergeant Ray Bars of the Midvale, Utah Police Department opened his wallet the other day, he noticed his driver's license had expired. Embarrassed at having caught himself red-handed, he had no alternative. He calmly and deliberately pulled out his ticket book and wrote himself a citation. Then Bars took the ticket to the city judge, who fined him $5. How could I give a ticket to anyone else for an expired license in the future if I didn't cite myself? Bars asked. Can you see the whole issue of conscience and integrity? You know, guys, it happens all the time. And sometimes you're tempted. And you say, maybe sometimes you leave a supermarket. And you say, man, look at the change right here. It's, you know, it's a gift from God. No, God doesn't want you to cheat. That's not a gift from God. You return the money back. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a gift from God. The other day, we say, hey, man, Lord, you've blessed me. No, the Lord has not blessed you. The money does not belong to you. You know, the other day we were in a park. On Mondays we never get so. I got this picnic, you understand? And Bola and I went to Danson Park. It was a great time. Monday afternoon, our time together. And I remember I went to M&S in Bexley Heath, and we bought these things. And I bought these nice scones when I used to have a lot of scones back then. But nowadays, of the soup. So I bought those nice. Were they scones or Welsh cakes? Just nice scones. They're fresh scones, man. And we got to the park. So I checked the receipts. This was like hours later. So we were having the food and everything. Do you understand? I scuffed out the last scone right there. The scone was polished. Then I look at the receipt. And I said, you know, by the way, I don't see the scones on the receipt. Maybe the Lord is smiling on me. No. Hey, I went back to M&S. And I said, by the way, excuse me. I didn't even know it was the lady. So I went back and said, excuse me, please. I bought some stuff here today. We've had the scones. We didn't pay for the scones. So she looked at me and said, I was actually the person who sold them to you. Thank you for coming back. Conscience. Now I could have sat here and said, it's a gift from the Lord. Free scones, man. But the conscience, though, and the character gets eroded. It's those little things. Doesn't need to be the big things. It's the little things that really test our conscience. You know, brothers and sisters, as a church, how's our conscience with the lost? The world needs Jesus. We can see the signs in our neighborhood. We can see the signs in our workplaces. We can see the signs in our streets. Guys, let's remember. When our conscience pricks us, that's the Holy Spirit. Let your heart be moved. Isn't that right? Let your heart be moved. Our consciences, brothers and sisters, should help us to serve God and not to focus on ourselves. Sometimes we can focus on ourselves too much, isn't that right? That we forget what the bigger picture is. People need to be saved. Who are you sharing with? Who are you sharing Jesus with? We have the good news. Don't we have good news? We've got great news. On Thursday, in Mulligan's house in Lee, Bradley Boydeau got baptized. It was a great time. I know whether you're like Bradley, who just got baptized, or older Christians, guys, disciples for many years, it doesn't matter. We are here to serve God with a clear conscience. The atmosphere was great. As Mine, Bradley Boydeau's mom was there, the room was packed, all the teenagers, everybody in there sharing. And you kind of felt, there was a buzz, and I kind of felt, man, you know. I tell you, when somebody gets baptized, isn't that right? And then you are washed clean, you receive the Holy Spirit, having been baptized, since washed away. There is something about it, isn't that right? I mean, everybody was sharing, everybody was just so excited. And yet, when Bradley went down, came up, he's what? A new creation. Squeaky clean. Completely saved. Hebrews chapter 8. Guys, where are we at? The joy of our salvation. Let's keep on sharing it. In conclusion, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. How's your conscience, brothers and sisters? We've got to keep on working on our consciences. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Keep on working on it. Hebrews 9. It says here in verse 27, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to be a sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. You know one thing I love? All of us, we want to be in God's presence. Don't we want to be in God's presence? We have got a great intercessor on our behalf that appeals on our behalf. Isn't that right? Jesus is there. Maybe he's having a conversation with the Father and he'll say, hey, son, I know Tux has been praying, but how is he done this week? Has he been sensitive? Has he been good? Yeah, Father, my blood has covered him. He's praying, he's repenting. I'm not too sure about Phil Miller. Yeah, what's wrong with Phil this week? Yeah. Louis said some things, but Father, yeah, Phil has repented and he's okay. My blood has covered him. But isn't that what Jesus is? Jesus' comfort is better. He's our mediator because of the blood. Isn't that right? He's the connection between us. It was fleshly in the old covenants. Physical priests. Animals. But we have the Son of God using his own blood so that he could just wash all of our sins away. Isn't that right? He is there to bring what is on the hearts of men to lay that upon the heart of God. He acts on our behalf. because of who he is. The curtains ripped it all apart. We all have access through the Holy of Holies. What is that? Direct access to God.
But you know one thing though?
Jesus is going to appear again. It says we are destined to die once and face judgment. Brothers and sisters, how are we living our lives, as Peter says, in reverent fear? How are we living our lives? You know, the Bible says, yes, we have Jesus. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. Isn't that right? But the problem is, though, how are we living our lives? How is our life? And are we prepared? You know, because there's a condition in our life. We can't just be here, do you understand, and trample on the blood, do you understand, and make a mockery of the blood. Our hearts have got to be changing. We've got to be a righteous people. Isn't that right? You know, some people sometimes, they take their Christian lives for granted, guys. Hey, I don't want to take mine for granted. I want to make sure that blood continually cleanses me as I humble myself before God every single day and every Sunday when we take communion here. Do you experience God's love? Winchester widow. Sarah Winchester's husband had acquired a fortune by manufacturing and selling rifles. After he died of influenza in 1918, she moved to San Jose, California. Because of her grief and her long-time interest in spiritism, which is sad, Sarah sought out a medium to contact her dead husband. The medium told her, as long as you keep on building your home, you will never face death. That is one of Satan's lies. All of us are going to die. No medium, no body, do you understand? All of this nonsense, you know, people giving out leaflets in Lewisham, do you understand? We have this, is it Sharma or something like that, do you understand? You got to buy this amulet. Let me tell you something, guys. We're going to die once and face judgment. Isn't that right? But we don't want to face judgment because the encouraging part of that scripture says what? He's coming back to take back those salvation. Isn't that our goal, guys? Salvation. Sarah believed the spiritist. So she brought an unfinished 17-room mansion and started to expand it. The project continued until she died at the age of 85. It cost $5 million at a time when workmen earned 50 cents a day. The mansion had 150 rooms, 13 bathrooms, 2,000 doors, 47 fireplaces, and 10,000 windows. And Mrs. Winchester left enough materials so that they could have continued building for another 80 years. Today, that house stands as more than a tourist attraction. It is a silent witness to the dread of death that holds millions of people in bondage. Guaranteed, guys, all of us are going to die. And the question we got to ask, are you ready to meet your Maker? Death could come at any time, so we must be ready all the time. If you want to live, get busy dying to yourself. You want to live? Get busy dying to yourself. Last thing here, then we round up. Many accidental deaths result from taking risks. That's the conclusion of an organization in Canada that is seeking to decrease accidents between cars and trains. There are some ads that you see here about network rail where people are trying to go past. There's a speeding train coming and they want to maneuver past the gates and get to the other side. You see those as danger. Roger Sir, National Director of Operation Lifesaver, puts most of the blame for fatalities on drivers who are risk takers. Studies have shown that when people hear a train whistle, their minds tell them to accelerate their speed, whether they can beat the train. Says Sir, about 43% of the accidents occur at crossings equipped with flashing lights and bells or gates. So also said that many drivers even have the audacity to drive around or under the gates. They take the risk, thinking they can beat the train, and somehow miss the collision, but with tragic consequences. You know, this morning, in our lives, brothers and sisters, none of us wants to be on a collision course with God. Luke chapter 14. We want to do what is right and make our terms of peace. Some of us are risking spiritual death. And we got to tell ourselves, let me be what I need to be. You know, today, we've looked at 2 points. Point number one, limitations of the old covenant. But we have a great God, we have a great Jesus who has opened the way for every single one of us that we can have free access 24/7. Praise God for that. A Savior in heaven that will listen to me even at 5 a.m. in the morning or 3 a.m. That when I speak, He is listening. Praise God for that. And not only that, we have the blood of Jesus that can cleanse our consciences. You know, we're destined to die once and face judgment. But the encouraging thing, he says, that he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Brothers and sisters, how are we living our lives today? I really pray that we can take something away from the message today and really speed the coming of Jesus, as Peter says in the book of Peter, and be all that we need to be and share the gospel to this world that needs Jesus in their lives. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Wow. Very interesting. Now, thanks, Stokes. So we appreciate the message from Hebrews chapter 9. You know, I want to ask you today, are you fleeing? Is something chasing you? As we talked about the conscience, you know, there's no fear.